Be sure to follow Off the Cuff on all social media platforms, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and X. On today's episode of Off the Cuff, the NFL schedule has been released, so we will give our initial thoughts on the schedule as a whole. We'll kind of just throw it all at one time, and we kind of just look at the games that intrigue us. So we'll do that. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs a little bit, but more so about Cooper Flagg and the Dallas Mavericks getting that first overall pick. We'll get into the NHL playoffs, and then we'll end it with some UFC talk, and then a couple more of who would you rather players for fantasy, value-wise, etc. So full show for you guys today. As always, let's get rolling. PGA Championships this weekend, by the way.
Bryson.
What? So you texted us, Kojo, the Bob Does Sports. I heard another thing about it, that it was actually, you got to watch it type of thing.
Oh, dude, it was so good. Dude, it is hysterical. It is hysterical, bro. This is one of the hardest golf courses in the world in Oakmont. There's traps everywhere. Joey Cole cuts as an all-time, like, first three holes. It is hysterical.
He does have the funniest stuff. He gets, his fuse is so short, and he is such a big bomb, too.
Bro, there's, like, four straight holes of him, like, missing a triple bogey putt from, like, 30 feet by, like, 2 inches.
So, Kojo, will you explain to us our fantasy rules that we're doing? Because it's very different.
Yeah. So the main one is a quarterback. They throw an interception, they get a tackle, you get 100 points. All right. And kick returners, every yard they get is a tenth of a point. All right. So
kick returners.
Yes.
Including kick returners.
Just kick returners.
Oh, shoot.
Just kick returners.
So not on punts, huh?
Not on punts. Because, I mean, majority of the punts, to be fair, unless there's like absolutely wide open lane, they're going to fair catch it. So I didn't really see a point.
That just counts under the defense?
No. So no, it's player. A player. Player. It's a player.
You got to roster kick returners.
You have to roster a kick returner. If you throw a pick six, it's minus 25 points.
Oh, I love that.
That's good. Cool. Well, you can get the points back if your quarterback makes the tackle.
Yeah.
Well, what if he can't make the tackle if he makes the end zone?
So I adjusted the passing yard. So the passing yard is the same, 1 point every 25 yards. If you get a 50, this is rushing and receiving. If you get a 50 plus receiving or rushing touchdown, 25 points. If a wide receiver or a running back get a 2-point conversion, that's 10 points. Kicking, if your kicker misses the PAT, minus 25 points.
How are we supposed to win this? Like,
this is totally random at that point. There's too much going on.
I love it though. I do love it. Like, honestly, I'm excited for it. I can't wait for our draft, whatever it is.
Talent shines, bro. The good teams will shine. If your team is the best team, you'll win no matter what the rules are. It's going to be a fun 3 months while we get this league set up, get this rolling.
You know what's funny is I'm not done. If your defense allows less than 100 yards, 25 points. So essentially, the other team's got to score zero.
Wait, when does that ever happen? Does anybody ever allow less than 100 in a year? Like, ever?
I doubt it.
I doubt it.
Say, I don't think that exists. You should have just gave us 1,000 for that.
Yeah.
Just call it a win.
But yeah, those are our sleeper off the cuff rules.
That is unbelievable.
What a way for me to get into the fantasy time, huh?
We need Jameis Winston. Ever. We need Jameis Winston to start. That's all I have to say.
It's a new era of fantasy football, man. I'm sick of the standard scoring. I'm sick of being kept in a box. I want to spread my wings, man. I want to stretch my legs. Let's have some fun.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it. How do we feel about the Dallas Mavericks, huh? 1.8%.
That's like I got a lot of questions. It seems that the layman fan is convinced it's rigged, and then every single basketball expert, you know, anyone who's credentialed, immediately got on the internet and on TV saying that it's not rigged, it can't be rigged. It's got to be rigged.
It's not
like
rigged.
There's no,
it's not rigged.
Like, no. Like, that's, come on, guys.
No.
You don't think it's a coincidence that the Cavs got LeBron, New Orleans got AD, and then they got Zion. Now Dallas got Cooper Flag.
Nope.
I mean, where did Wemby go?
San Antonio.
To the Frenchman place. San Antonio. Well,
let me ask you this. I will say, I don't think it's rigged. But Nico trades Luka, doesn't even shop him, makes a stupid play, then turns around and get the first pick. Oh, that screams.
Oh, look at the draw. He knew what he was doing the whole time.
Yeah, he was like, 1%, run it.
Nico might be the greatest GM the NBA world has ever seen.
Realistically, it can't be rigged. But
Cooper Flagg's a Dallas Maverick. Like, Dallas is back. Dallas is fully back. They've got AD when Kyrie gets healthy again after his ACL.
They're better off than they were before.
Maybe so, no. Honestly. Maybe. They might be, Kojo. They might be.
This Luka should have just never gotten fat, dude. This never would have happened. But I don't think it's rigged. And why I say that is because if it was rigged, Zion would not have gone to the Pelicans. Zion was the biggest prospect out of college, people said, since LeBron. So,
no, yeah, he would be a Knick because Knick got they were like number one odds for Zion that year.
Right.
Well, maybe they can't do it every time.
Maybe they got to have a one-off.
They knew Zion was going to be a bust. That's how they
Have we considered that Nico could do something crazy just like he did a couple months ago?
Nah.
Yeah.
So
the end game is getting Cooper Flag.
What if it's not Cooper Flag? What if he just fucks the fans?
Ace Bailey?
Yeah.
Who's the best player in the draft other than Cooper Flag?
Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey goes one.
Ace Bailey, yeah. I mean, Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper. But something I heard, and this is interesting. I don't like it personally. Before I say anything, I don't like this. But I heard on the radio, yes, I listened to the radio, that this guy was talking about an NFL lottery and how shocked that it hasn't happened yet. So how it would work, 1 through 6 rankings of the team. So this year, first 6 picks, you go into a lottery for the number one pick. And this takes place on the night of the NFL draft combine when it ends. So that's Saturday or Sunday. And imagine how much revenue this would bring to the NFL. That's partly why I think the NBA does it. It's just the money that comes into play. What would you guys think of an NFL lottery?
What money are you talking about?
You're talking about ratings. Okay. Which is valid because if it was the NFL, it would be like one of the biggest events on the calendar. I personally think the lottery is dumb in professional sports. I think that the worst team should get the best player of the draft. I've always thought that way. Playing around with now Dallas gets AD, Kyrie, and Cooper Flag, when there's a team that has literally no future unless they had the first pick, I think that's silly. You know? Like, you had Dallas playing in the... Were they a play-in team?
Yeah, they were.
And then the first pick?
I love it. I love the lottery. It incentivizes teams not to tank, which I'm not a fan of tanking, but I don't think the lottery would work in the NFL, to answer your question, Kojo, because when you look at sports like the NHL and the NBA that have a lottery system, usually those first two, I'll even say three picks, they are game changers in your franchise. And if there is a year where you know this guy is a generational player, which that term can be thrown more often, then tanking solidifies you getting that player. In the NFL, how often does a number one pick actually just turn out to be a bust or just not the kind of player that we thought it would be? A lot of times, when a number one pick is a number one pick in the NBA or the NHL, they're usually that generational player. So don't incentivize teams to drop just because there is one coming into the draft that year.
I think you're close, Grant. I don't think it's necessarily that the hit rate is better, but it's more of an individual affected sport. Like,
yes,
NFL is a complete 11-man sport, whereas if you get one of those game-changing players in the NHL or the NBA, that one player can win you entire games every night.
Yeah, it's like even the conversation with Giannis and where he's going to go right now. It's like, it does, wherever that he goes, it's a playoff team. You know what I mean? From regardless of who's there. So, I mean, in the NFL, that doesn't exist. Like, no. In the NHL, Jack Eichel changes Vegas. You know, there's a, even though he wasn't the first pick, and certain players can change teams. It's just because it's five aside. You know, it's different.
And that's my whole thing is solo player impacts, like you said, Chuck, are way more volatile in NHL and NBA than it is in the NFL. And for that reason, I think the lottery system works in that, and it doesn't. It wouldn't in the NFL, and it shouldn't.
I don't think it shouldn't be a thing.
I don't think tanking is a thing really in the NFL. Whereas in the NBA or the NHL, like you could really say, like a team could throw their entire current situation away for a chance at a Zion or a Cooper Flagg. I mean, there's GMs that would do that.
Who's right. Playoff cutoff teams right now that would in the NFL? That would be in the lottery system. Like, who would we be talking about? The Bengals, maybe, and like certain teams that definitely don't deserve a 101?
No, it's just teams 1 through 6. That's it. The rest works the same. Yeah, the rest would work the same.
In your theory, or in if you made the NBA work, like if you had the
if NFL it was the NBA, draft. It'd be more teams. So,
Like if the NFL did it like the NBA, there'd be a ton of teams. Like, it'd be like every team that didn't make the playoffs. Right.
It's again just the worst 6 teams by record go into the lottery. That's all it is.
It's just in this theory.
The rest of the teams again goes by record from there. Yeah.
So the leaks are correct. The Jaguars do only have one night game, one primetime game.
Thursday?
It will be Monday Night Football against the Chiefs, week 5.
I thought all teams get a Thursday game.
I don't consider that a primetime game.
I mean, it's primetime television.
It's not primetime, but they're doing their best.
They don't even have one.
I think they're
I'll take that.
A lot of times the international game kind of takes the place of that.
Yeah, which they do have that week 7.
I'll take that.
We always knew that. Week. But yeah, you got Panthers, Bengals to open up, and then you're the Texans. Those are your first 3 games.
The whole schedule out completely right now.
Yeah.
On the dot. It's 8:04 on Wednesday night, May 14th. Let's take a peek here, boys.
Yeah, I'm starting to run through this. I just found one of those crazy graphics where it shows every single game in one Excel sheet. So I'm going to try to break that down.
Throw that in the chat.
I got to check to see what my Buccaneers are looking like.
So I've got you. You open up in Atlanta. And then week 2, you're at Houston. Two interesting games.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? What's the first game I circle is game of the week, week 1? Baltimore on the road at Buffalo.
Week 1?
Week 1, rematch. Baltimore's last team they played was Buffalo.
That's really interesting, actually.
And it's the exact same matchup at Buffalo and everything.
Oh, the Bucks-Texans game is week 2 Monday night. So I'm looking at the Monday night schedule. Let me just rattle this off real quick. Week 1 Monday night football is Vikings-Bears. It's in Chicago.
Gross.
The week 2, like I mentioned, is Bucks-Texans, but it's one of those double-header things.
You don't like it? Wait. Why is Vikings-Bears gross?
I think that's a good game.
Yeah, you're not interested Ben Johnson, J.J. McCarthy. Caleb, see what Caleb's like with Ben Johnson, J.J. McCarthy with these Vikings.
I mean, Chuck, well, there's Green Bay, game. Detroit. There's Green Bay, Detroit the same week. Houston, the Rams. I mean, there's other big games.
Yeah, but it's not gross. You said gross. Acted like they gave you Jets, Eagles.
Yeah, that's fair. It's not that bad. I'm not going to be excited for it. I might be excited to see what Ben Johnson cooks up.
Yeah, come on now.
I mean, J.J. McCarthy, Ben Johnson. What a good game.
Well, it's more of a revelation game of like kind of what's gonna happen in that division, because we look at that division like it's the stacked division, but there's question marks for both those teams for sure.
Ooh, another. Sorry, I'm looking at the Bucks stuff right now. Monday night Bucks, October 20th, week 7. Bucks at Lions, Monday night game.
Hey, we got week 2 Super Bowl rematch at Kansas City. Philadelphia's got a little bit of a gauntlet to start this season. You ready for this? Super Bowl champs are coming in. They're fighting Dallas, Kansas City, the Rams, the Bucks, and the Broncos. First 5 weeks.
Wow.
That's all playoff teams. I guess Dallas, but they count.
How do you think Cam Ward fares on the road at Mile High week 1?
That's a great game, honestly.
No, it's not. It's not. Denver is going to destroy him. Yeah, they're on the road.
They're going to lose, yes.
By a lot, bro. They're playing at Denver with that Denver defense. Cam Ward's first time. I do have a feeling.
Cam Ward's not going to suck. That's the issue. I think I've said this 100 times. I don't think Cam Ward is like a first overall. Right,
I bet you lines are about to be out. What do you think the line of that Denver Tennessee game is? I'm gonna go ahead and say 8.5.
Yeah, it's hard
I'm
to argue.
Sure,
that.
It's kind of. I'm sure they have like the super early. Let's go see what they're saying.
I want to make a take real quick. The Cincinnati Bengals are at Cleveland week 1. The Bengals are historically so bad in September. But because this is a very meaningful game for them, this is a game that they kind of have to win because it's in division, I can see the Bengals actually coming out of the gate firing on all cylinders.
I mean, there's a couple great games. I think Kansas City and the Chargers is very interesting, because you could see the Chargers pull out that game for sure. In that game, there's no home team, remember. Which I think plays in the Chargers' favor, either way. Coach, you got any thoughts over here? You looking at the schedule?
Yeah, I'm looking at the worst games I can find right now. Just the absolute stinkers. That's what I'm interested in. The one I found right now is 2, 3, 4. Week 5, Raiders-Colts. That's a big stinker.
Well, week 10, we've got Cleveland Jets.
Another stinker.
Actually, when you said stinker, I just looked for the Cleveland schedule.
You don't want to see Shador?
Will he be starting by then?
I think week 1's going to be insane, though. It's such a good slate, dude.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So Chargers, Chiefs for sure in Brazil. That's annoying.
I think you're sleeping on how electric that run game in Cleveland could be. Flacco, play action.
I think the Bengals blow them out first week.
I think people are forgetting how good Joe Flacco was on the Browns like 18 months ago.
Dude, we've got Panthers, 49ers on a Monday night, week 12.
Why?
That could be good. That could be good.
It could be good. It's just that's one you wonder why they picked that one. What's the storyline there?
Hey, big one. Here we go. Thursday night football, week 2. We've got the Commanders at Lambeau.
Mm-hmm. A lot of games are opening up with division opponents. You got Cincinnati, right. Cleveland, Green Bay, Detroit.
Let's zero in on week one.
Tampa, all I know, on week one, Pitt and the Jets, the Steelers and the Jets, I'm betting any under 6 months or 3 months down the road, I should say.
Justin Field playing as a team that left him for dust.
The Giants will no doubt cover the spread against the Commanders, no matter what it is.
Well, we've got...
That game goes.
So our Christmas games are going to be Denver at Kansas City. You've got Dallas at Washington. And you've got Detroit at Minnesota.
What I don't like is that they're having the same teams play on every holiday. They've got Detroit and the Chiefs playing on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Why don't we have some variety?
All right, give me your boys. Give me your game of the year on the calendar today. What are you circling?
I'm looking at week one. That's like I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm only gonna bite off what I can chew. And I'm looking at game of the year in week one is probably Dallas at Philly. I think the Cowboys win that game.
No.
That's my game of the year in week one. And we're going to open it. That's the opener, isn't it?
Yeah. I like Ravens-Bills more than that game, personally.
Yeah.
All right. I got a high-key game right here.
That's the AFC version. You got the AFC version. You got the NFC mm-hmm. version.
I've got a title-clinching game right now. Division title-clinching game. Yeah, week 15. Week 15, you've got Baltimore at Cincinnati.
No, that's Thanksgiving. Week 15. Sorry.
Week 15, yeah.
No, they play Thanksgiving night on primetime.
Oh, they do. They play two times in 3 weeks.
Yeah. That game is a game that I'm circling. I'm looking at the primetime games right now because it's just more to look at. Sunday night football, even though it's Thanksgiving night, they have Baltimore in Cincy, in Baltimore. That's going to be a hell of a slate. Who do the Lions play on Thanksgiving? That would be week 12. Would it?
They play Green Bay.
Packers.
Week 13, sorry.
Yeah, it's Green Bay.
And it's in Lambeau on Thanksgiving as well. That's really interesting.
That's sick.
No, it can't be.
I'm looking at it.
The Lions always play at home on Thanksgiving.
No, it's at Lions. Yeah, it's at the Lions. Yeah.
So that's a great three games for Thanksgiving that we have, though. We have Green Bay at Detroit. We have the Chiefs at Dallas. And we have Cincy at Baltimore.
Let me ask you this. Who's your after looking at these schedules, Chuck's got the full thing up here that I'm looking at. Who's your hot starts to start the season? What team should get off in a hot foot here?
It's hard to say, man. Like, it's funny. You always think that, and that's why Survivor is always so hard. Because these good teams that you think are going to be good, and a lot of the times are good, will start 0-2. So, like, I'm looking right now. It looks like the Commanders have a 1-0 start going into Green Bay, and that's one I've got circled. I think the Giants will make that game really interesting for no reason.
I don't know how the San Francisco 49ers don't start 4-0. At Seattle, at New Orleans, home to Arizona, home to Jacks. That's probably the most easy opening month that you could ask for.
You talking about reasoning?
I'm looking at the Buffalo Bills. So if they get past the Ravens, they can go 7-0 with a away game going into week 8 against Kansas City. Mm. Or week 9 going to Kansas City because they have a bye. I mean, that's about as good as a schedule they could have to start it. But they kind of have a tough one towards the end of the year.
I like the Rams schedule, home openers here. So they're going to start at home against Houston. Then they go to Tennessee.
That's a really tough
game. Hold on. They're at home to Houston. They're going to go on the road to Tennessee. Their hard game is going to be Philly. I'm not high on the 49ers. And after that, they've got Indy and San Francisco. So I could see a 4-1 start there.
I think that's a bonkers schedule. I see.
Why? Tennessee and Indy in San Francisco, who just went 5-12.
San Francisco is going to be better. It's a division game. Those games are always really good. They just lost so many guys, though. It doesn't matter. Division games are division games.
You know who has Kyle Shanahan's number?
Yeah, I agree with Vogel here.
Houston's a tough one.
And then if you want to jump all the way to the bye, they play Jacksonville in London, albeit.
The Lions' schedule, sorry to interrupt you, Chuck, is crazy. Oh my goodness, dude. I mean,
yeah. I saw a big beef going on in a Vikings comment section because a Vikings fan said that the Lions are more likely to finish last in that division than first because of their schedule. Of course, Lions fans hated that, but their schedule is brutal, Kojo.
You know what's funny, boys? If you scroll down at Pittsburgh's schedule, convince me why Mike Tomlin won't be 4-0 by somehow.
No, he definitely will. Like, definitely will.
I know. Yeah, why does he get away with this?
I bet they're 3-1, but yeah, I'm with you there.
yeah, everyone calls for his head. He's going to somehow be 4-0 at the bye week.
We don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. That's the best part.
Yeah, I don't need to know who the QB is with that. Bro, they'll find a way.
We know who the quarterback's going to be.
Is it going to be Coach Tomlin?
TJ Watt might outscore the offense. I'm not sure yet.
They brought DK over to play quarterback.
Another schedule that I'm looking at that's really, really tough is the Giants, dude. Oh, my gosh. They start off Commanders, Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, Saints, Eagles, Denver, Eagles again.
Yeah, they might not win the game.
They had the hardest strength of schedule of any team.
Really?
They got shafted. Everything Chuck believes.
They got shafted.
Yeah, they did them wrong because that shit matters. But the thing is, Grant, you can't say that for sure now. Actually, I can say for sure that it will be different. What you can say at the end of this season, or, you know, at the end of a season, you can look back on the strength of schedule and, you know, analyze it that way. But looking ahead, we have no idea who's good yet or not. You know, you would have thought the Commanders would have been, if you played the Commanders last year, that would have helped your strength of schedule, whereas you had that mistaken probably.
I think we do know who's good. We just don't know to what extent. I think the Commanders are such an oddball thing that happened. Like, the majority of the time, these teams aren't flipping their franchise in a year. They're just getting a little bit better. So when I look at, like, I'm going to bring up the Jags schedule, of course. When I look at their schedule, like, the first 7 weeks of the season are tough. But when you look at the back half of the year, where you want to be with a new coach, with a rookie coming in that's supposed to contribute, I kind of like it that way.
Let me just read off the Jags schedule. You guys are Jags fans. Let's run through the Jags real quick. Tell me your thoughts about the game. Nothing long. Just quick thoughts on it. But, you know, they open up at home to Carolina. That should be a win for them, right?
W.
Yes. Yeah, I would put that as a win.
Does Carolina scare you at all, though? Like, yeah, at all?
A little.
They came out strong. You're with a new coach. You don't know how Trevor and the rest of the team are going to correlate together just yet. I don't know if you can guarantee that a win.
You can't guarantee, I don't think, anything on their schedule win just because it's the Jags. But I think if you played Carolina later in the year, I would not be scared whatsoever. But week one, yeah, they could sneak the win, no doubt. Especially,
it's going to be a good game.
I'm going to prefer a Jags win there.
I would love to go to that game.
Home opener?
Travis Hunter's first game?
No, I'll wait for the week two.
Hey, Grant, I'm with you. Especially because it'll be so hot, no one's going to want to go.
Yeah. All right, Chuck and I will go.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why not?
We'll I'll be in our bathing suits.
All right, all right. Yeah, you're not invited, Connor.
I'll bring my electrolytes.
Receded. So at Houston, you guys go right into a divisional game.
That's tough.
A tough game.
It's tough.
But what's funny about the Houston and the Jacksonville
Jaguars?
Sorry,
I looked at the wrong.
We go to
you're at Cincinnati. I apologize. You're at Cincinnati.
Yeah, we go to Cincinnati.
Sorry about that.
Even worse.
Week two at Cincinnati. If you remember, though, was it 2021? You guys went to Cincinnati in week two on Thursday night, and it was a really close game.
We play the Bengals tough. I think that's a really good game.
That's a Lawrence Burrow shootout guaranteed. God. Is it not?
No.
I mean, you referenced week three, said it was a close game. That's what happened then. Jake Browning came in and gave the same shootout, to be fair, but Jake Browning was giving everybody the same shit.
Home to Houston in week three.
See, that's one that's weird. See, it's weird because Jacksonville, I feel like, wins at Houston and Houston wins at Jacksonville. I think that's been the case the last 2 years.
I believe that's right. I mean, you guys are Jags fans. There is always something with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Houston comes to Jacksonville and just beats the brakes off the Jaguars. That's kind of how it's gone.
Oh, my God. Did you guys, not to get off topic here, did you guys see the Jags opening video for the schedule?
I didn't, bro. I didn't. I've just been looking at, like I said, the spreadsheet thing.
It's that big black guy that does that weird routine at like 4 o'clock in the morning. What is he doing in the Jaguars building?
They got him to pull up. No way.
He's from Miami. What is it? Look at this clown. What is he doing?
Oh, they got the pool. Ashton Hall. Yeah, they got Ashton Hall in the building. Bro, that's so hard, Loki. That's so good.
It's actually, is it though? I'm watching it right
now. He's stiff arming helmets and he's tapping like, what is going on?
It's like, so, what's the correlation?
So, I think he is from Jacksonville. If I'm not mistaken, I think he like went to First Coast or something like that. So I think that's maybe why they did it.
And he did have a cup of coffee in the NFL. He got to the league. You can't say he didn't.
This is ridiculous.
I'm watching right now.
He
doesn't get dressed until 1 o'clock.
He's got a tag. Look at that. I'm sorry. What is this clown doing?
Go ahead. Ashton Gentry's what?
Ashton Hall. Ashton Hall is his name.
My bad.
Not Ashton Gentry. No, he's from Jacksonville.
They had him here for 12 hours doing shit.
Yeah. Yeah, he went to First Coast. I just looked it up. Yeah, he's a Jacksonville guy, dude. I love it.
We smacked First Coast. Dude.
That's actually hilarious.
All right, can we run through? We only got through 2 weeks.
Yeah, so the week three is home to Houston.
Hard game. I'm going to go ahead and say 1-2.
So you're at 1-2. What does everybody else at? Three, 1-2.
I'm at 2-1.
I'm at 1-2.
I say you split Cincinnati and Houston.
Nah, I got 1-2. Keep going.
All right. Week four, you're at San Francisco.
2-2.
W, 2-2.
That gets me to 2-2. So we're all on the same page now.
Wow. Okay.
There's no way they're 1-3. Grant, they're going to go in. That Jacksonville-Cincinnati game is going to be one possession, and I think Houston's going to be one possession. So we'll see.
But do we start the season with four? With how many road games do we start?
No, you're home, road, home, road.
Oh, we start the season at home? Oh, I thought you guys were trying to go to North Carolina. I was like,
No.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be there. Yeah. No. You guys kept saying that. I was like, you can take a plane. Like, what?
I think there's a higher shot of us being 0-4 than 2-2. Hot take.
Yeah.
To probably. Be honest with you,
even the September Bengals.
I don't think we lose to Carolina.
I'm gonna stand on my thought, Chuck, where the Bengals will actually start out really good because they have to. They have a division game. Even though it's the Browns. I don't care. But they play the Browns bad still. They know that they're going to have to step up.
Right.
So week five, Connor's boyfriend comes into town for Monday Night Football.
I can see him being 2-3.
We're 2-3.
3-2.
Oh, he's got us beating KC. Don't let the Houston fans hear this.
Kojo. I think I could see us being 3-2 because I could see them beating Cincinnati and San Francisco and Carolina and then losing to Houston and Kansas City.
We're probably losing that game, but I'm just saying 3-2 just out of spite is all. I mean, that's all it is. Straight hatred.
Who
home game?
And then after that, it's the Rams in London. I think they beat the Rams. I think they beat the Rams in London. The only reason
no,
they
it's
lost...
the Seahawks. With Seahawks next after KC, then it's the Rams.
Is that facts?
Yeah. I've got to set 3 or 3-4.
I jumped to London. Let me look at this. Let me see.
Going
this
into the bye week.
Oh, it is Seattle at home too. That's an interesting game.
I think 3-4 is probably what I got as well, Fogle. I think we lose.
3-4.
Yeah, I think
we could potentially pull a game out of there somewhere that we weren't expecting, and then probably lose a game that we're giving ourselves too much credit for.
So I think something that isn't talked about enough is where your bye week is located. Having a week 8 bye, I think that's kind of early.
Yeah, well, they started at week 5, right? So.
Yes. And it goes all the way to week 13.
Yeah. I don't mind that because it's breaking up. If you look at where the bye week is,
too.
If you look at where the bye week is, I'm not going to make the case. Of course, I'd love it later. But I'm not totally out of love with where it's at because if you break our schedule down, you look at hard versus easy. The bye week separates the teams from what was hard and what was easy because after that, it's smooth sailing.
And I think especially with a rookie head coach, it gives a chance for a reset. You know,
Connor, I think that's a really good point, Connor. You know, a lot of teams just need momentum going into the playoffs if they even get there. And when you can have those kind of games where you're playing well because you're not playing maybe as good of opponents, and you start playing those Colts, you start playing those Jets, Colts twice again. I mean, you're right there. I think that's a great point, especially for a rookie head coach. Trevor Lawrence has proven that he can make a streak in the back half of the season. That might bode really well for the Jaguars.
I would have hated the schedule if it was flipped.
Yes.
Would have hated it if it was flipped. But I'm totally cool with where the bye week is. I think we go to Vegas comes to us, I believe, right after the bye.
Yes, I think you're right. How about
go ahead.
Obviously, it's going to be an AFC South division between the Jaguars and it's going to be the Texans. As far as we believe, the Texans open at Los Angeles Rams. That's a tough game.
Really tough. I I'm giving them credit beating us early in the season. Like I'm trying to be unbiased here. I'm really high on the Rams.
Especially if you look at the Texans' other early schedules, they kind of need to come into Jacksonville and win because they play in Baltimore, they got to play Tampa, and their bye is super early. And then after the bye, it gets rough at the end of the season for them. So they're going to be good. I think their schedule is kind of weird. They got a week 6 bye, and a lot of their big games are at the end of the year. Like I'm looking.
So what was their first 4 weeks?
I'll run through it real quick. They're at the Los Angeles Rams week 1.
Loss.
Week 2, they are home to Tampa Bay on Monday night. Week 3, they are at Jacksonville.
Win.
I'm going to go 2-1.
And week 4, they are home to the Titans.
3-1.
Week 5, they are at Baltimore, and then their bye week.
So 3-2 probably going to the bye.
Yeah. Could be 3-2. Might be 2-3.
Sure.
You never know.
I don't think it'll be 4-1. I think that's giving them too much credit.
Definitely not 4-1.
But I don't think they'll be. I think they'll come out of that stretch above 500.
I think Rams is a loss. Baltimore's a loss, and I think Tampa is a loss. Just only because I'm a Bucs fan. The Bucs played in Houston 2 years ago. And got their ass whooped. I mean, I think they put up like 580 yards, 600 yards on Tampa that day. I can just see Baker kind of having one of those mentality games of F these guys. I'm not going to let them do what they did
last
time.
Is that game in Houston or Tampa?
It's home for them.
Yeah. That's a tough game.
Always is.
But come out of their bye, they go.
I'll stand by that. I'll have 3-2 going into bye. I'll stand by that.
And then come out of their bye, they go to Seattle, which could be interesting. And then they play the 49ers, Broncos, Jaguars. I think that second time they play the Jaguars, I've got that as a loss for Houston. And then they got to go
as well.
And they've got to go after that. They've got to go on the road to a potentially playing better Cam Ward in Tennessee. And then after that, they play the Bills, Colts, Chiefs. So their schedule...
For me, I think you just named off 14 weeks, and I was doing it in my head just based off like immediate reaction. I have them 7-7 after the Chiefs game.
All right. We're going to play a quick game real quick. I have all 32 NFL teams on a wheel, and I'm going to spin it. We're going to run through the record and go through a win-loss real quick.
It's gonna be the Jets. Watch.
I hope not.
It is. I'm gonna guess it's the Saints.
So Connor said Jets. Chuck, you say.
Give me the Dallas Cowboys.
And you said the. Who, Kojo?
Saints.
It is the New York Giants.
Oh. Wow. The hardest schedule.
Can we pick a different one? Because yes, I'm going to have look like 100%. Two or three wins. 100%.
All right, give me one more team. Wheel is spinning right now.
All right.
Cleveland Browns.
Los Angeles Rams.
Seattle Seahawks.
It is the Los Angeles Rams.
Come on.
Connor, give me some bets tonight. I need some bets tonight.
Well, I'm already on Toronto. The game started. Yeah, what's the score of that? I haven't been paying attention. We need to give an audience score check here. Boys, it is 3-0 Panthers. Toronto is in trouble. They might be cooked.
Wow. I think we all could have seen that coming.
That's bad. No, I didn't see it coming. I had money on it.
All right, let's get to the L.A. Rams here. Week one, we already mentioned that they are home to the Houston Texans. Great game.
Yeah, I have them winning that.
Week two, they're at the Titans.
2-0.
Yep.
Another great game. Week three at Philly, a NFC divisional game rematch.
2-1.
2-1. That's an L.
Week four, home to the Indianapolis Colts.
Keep it moving.
Week five, home to the San Francisco 49ers. Another great game.
Keep it moving.
W.
Then you've got week six. You've got at Baltimore. Wow.
Hear me out.
I've got that as a loss.
I understand if you go 4-2. I'm going to go 5-1.
I'm going to go loss.
Here's why. I have them coming into that Baltimore game super hot, and I've got the Ravens beating them, and then I've got Jacksonville beating them in London. Because Jacksonville is used to the London thing, I think if you look at the history of Jacksonville in the London games, they fare well and they kind of punch above their weight even sometimes in the London game. I'm going to give that the edge there. And then I think the Rams get super hot. They go to the bye after the London game.
To your London game real quick, Chuck.
Yeah.
They also have an extra 5-hour flight going from L.A.
Right. Yeah, that's a fantastic point.
Yeah, that's going to suck. Didn't the Jags get blown out by Caleb Williams in London last year?
But the story is the plane broke down, so they got there late, and they usually get there super early.
The Jags have a winning record overseas, is what Chuck's saying. Which they do.
Yeah, I don't recall they have playing done better. Good teams, right?
They beat the Bills in London.
I mean, we played the Falcons.
Yeah, beat the Falcons, beat the Bills.
Yeah, Bills are good, obviously. All right. Mm-hmm. So you have 4-3?
Yeah, I got them at 4-3.
Yeah, after their bye week.
I would agree.
Week 8, they are home to the New Orleans Saints.
I've got them winning 3 in a row going into that Bucs game. I've got them beating the Saints. I've got them going into San Francisco and winning. And I've got them beating the Seahawks. I think the Niners are going
to
be good.
I'm lost where you're at week-wise. Can you go back to doing it week by week?
Well, if you go look at the beginning part of their schedule.
Week 9 is home to New Orleans.
Where are we?
The Rams.
So we were 4-3?
I don't know. I mean, sure. Okay, Fogo, let me run it back for you. So you had the Texans at Titans at Eagles. Whoa,
what game is after Jacksonville?
The it's Saints. Week. No, it's that's, the Saints. That's,
okay, so they're 4-3, and they're playing the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
Yeah. Chuck's going, so they're going here, and here. I'm like, fuck, dude, where are we?
I don't know how confused you are.
Yeah, 4-3 going to the Saints. They're 5-3.
Yeah, and then they have San Francisco.
6-3.
And Seattle.
7-3.
And that's and what Tampa. I said they were going to win 3 in a row going to the Bucs game.
Okay, I see where you're at. So that's seven, you're saying 7-3 going to the Bucs game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask full goal, it could be 8-2, but I'll stick with 7-3. It's pretty egregious. I'm going to go ahead and say, are they at Tampa or are they home?
They're home to Tampa. Sunday night.
Ooh. I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to say W. Sean McVay, Sunday night football at home.
At the Carolina Panthers the week after that.
9-3.
At the Cardinals.
They got to lose a division game somewhere. They got to lose a division game somewhere.
So let's go 9-4 here playing Detroit.
That's fair.
Because they play after the Bucs on Sunday night, they play at Carolina and then at Arizona.
So 9-4 playing Detroit. Are they at home to Detroit?
Yes, they are. It's week 15.
I'm going to say 10-4.
Yep. And then they play at Seattle. 11-4.
I'm going to say 10-5. I don't think they sweep all these teams in the division.
I say
as good as I like them, it's hard to sweep every team.
So hear me out. I say 11-4, and then they go at Atlanta. I think they lose that game. That puts them at 11-5, and then they beat the Cardinals to end the season to get to 12-5.
Who gave me a thumbs up? Well, who's
doing the fireworks?
who's doing
that?
You
do that, I think. You do that a lot for some reason.
Wait, what?
I think it's just some AI stuff, bro.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah,
oh, I went like this.
Say something.
I went like this.
Yeah, it does that.
Are you telling me that we need to make a bet on that?
Yeah. Oh, I wish people could see this. I keep making faces and it keeps putting emojis on Kojo's head.
you want to roll the dice again, Grant?
Yeah, we can if you'd like to. Give me a team.
Unless you have some comments.
Well,
on the Rams.
I just sent you guys a picture of the Monday Night Football game. Give me your favorite game from that Monday Night Football schedule.
I'm sorry. I just made another face and a bunch of rocket chips went over Coach's head.
The Monday Night games.
Yeah, I just texted it all to y'all. What game are you most looking forward to in the Monday Night Football games?
Holy shit, the Panthers are up 4-0. Series is over, boys.
I'll tell you what I'm not looking forward to is Dolphins Steelers December 15. Do you think they can flex out of that?
Flex out of that? They might just. All right,
games I'm looking forward to Monday Night Football. I think the Bucks Texans is going to be a hell of a game. It's been competitive, very competitive. Detroit Ravens is awesome. And then October 6th, week 5, as Jags fans, this will be a fun day.
Do we like that there's a doubleheader so early in the Monday Night Football slate?
I feel like they do that a lot, don't they?
The same.
Yeah, they do.
Recently, they started doing it. You got Bucks Texans, and probably at the same time, you've got Chargers Raiders. I can tell you, as a guy on the East Coast, I'll be watching Bucks Texans. That's going to be a clear division of what side of the country you live on, what game you're watching.
My assumption for that, and the way they've done it in the past, is that's a 7 o'clock kick Eastern time. So I would guess the Chargers Raiders in week 2 Monday Night Football, which really is an ABC game, is going to be like an 8:30 kick. They've kind of staggered them a little bit.
They should stagger them as much as they possibly can, but they've been doing them like by 1 hour.
Yeah, it's usually by 1 hour.
which is super annoying. At least do an hour and a half where it's like close to lining up at halftime, where you get to the first half of the first game at least. But I hate the doubleheaders personally.
On week 14 is an awesome week. We got Philly at LA playing the Chargers.
The week 4 doubleheader game of Bengals Broncos might be one of the most underrated games of this
That's
league.
Grant, I was literally about to say it. That's my favorite one. That's the best one to me.
Last year's game was electrifying.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was going to say that or Manders or Redskins Chiefs as another good one. See how Jaden Daniels goes against that Chiefs defense.
Yeah, that's a great. Yep.
I have a sneaky good one. Cowboys Raiders. Ashton Jeanty, Monday night, November 17th.
Battle of the Classics.
Yeah.
That's one that's going to look good on TV. It's in Vegas. Raiders are going to be wearing the black. Cowboys going to be in their white. Ashton Jeanty is going to be sick. So.
All right. What's the worst Monday night game of the year?
Jets
Stamp
Dolphins.
Stamp it now. Jets Dolphins your, week four. Is your worst Monday night
game. What
about
Dolphins of the Steelers? Are we out on the. So are we starting to hate the Dolphins as just the casual? Because I don't have any beef with the Dolphins.
I don't have any problem with
are
the Dolphins.
Are they boring? Are they boring? Are we saying they're boring? Because I said Dolphins Steelers.
I say Dolphins Jets. Any game the Dolphins are in.
What about Niners?
I'm going to say Niners Colts.
Yeah, Niners, I was going to say Niners Colts.
That one is sucks. I'm so low on the Niners going into this year. And obviously low on the Colts with what their situation is. Do you guys think the Colts finish last in the division?
No.
No? You think the Titans?
I still think it's the Titans. I really do. Colts, I think they might surprise people more than we give them credit for. Like they got second in the division this past year. So, like...
You know why I agree with you, Kojo? People are sleeping on Daniel Jones. They are. Anthony Richardson's not the quarterback to me. To me, Daniel Jones is the quarterback, and he kind of makes me nervous.
The laughing emotions. It's crazy. Even the AI called
Dude,
you bluff.
Chuck. So you're high on Daniel Jones this year.
Higher than anything Anthony Richardson.
Higher than most?
Higher than most for damn sure. As someone who hopes they're not good, you know what I mean? I mean, they've got receivers. They've got Jonathan Taylor. They've got a good defense. I believe in Shane Steichen a little bit. If you put a decent quarterback, their team can do something. We saw them be competitive in the last 2 years without a quarterback. So, Daniel Jones can be competent. I think it's something to kind of keep note of if you're – if you're down and out on the Colts, just going to dismissing them. I'm not.
It all bases off with, to me, who the Colts starter is going to be week one. If it's Anthony Richardson, I think by week, let's say, 4, by the time they get to the Rams, they might have made a switch already to Daniel Jones.
I'm personally low on them. I'll acknowledge the fact that they do win games randomly and can do a couple, you know, they can string together some stuff throughout the year. This to me looks like it's getting teed up to where they're drafting a QB next year and they have a new front office. That's how I'm looking at them right now going into 2025. So I'm going to stick to my gut there.
Yeah, you could be right by that.
There's so much to break down with this schedule, that's for certain. But just having an overview of all of this, it just gets me so excited for football season.
We're back. We're almost back.
And knowing that the Hall of Fame game, I know it's a Hall of Fame game, who cares about it, is in July, though, that's awesome.
Are you guys ready to talk about everything other than football for 3 months?
What we can talk about.
Yeah, that's what's funny is like the you have the draft, like you yeah, exactly. Like there are things that get you up to this point. The 3 month lull is June, July, August, where like there really isn't anything but like baseball, hot dog eating, Like, we'll start running through some games. Like, that Jeopardy, I'm going to have to start watching Jeopardy in my free time. I'm going to start dialing that in. So, you know, I can start winning those games. But, yeah, we do have a long off season ahead of us, no doubt.
Boys, you know what I'm super pumped for? You know what LOL sended?
What's that?
Dana White went on Twitter yesterday, did his press conference, his you know, his yearly. He does it more than once a year, but he did his yearly big break where, like, just shit hit the fan. Everything's on. So he announced a lot of fights yesterday, and the biggest one being Ilya Charles Oliveira, which is, like, going to be the biggest pay-per-view of the year by far. And he teased John
right.
Jones.
And,
Are you gonna host? Are you gonna host?
Fuck yeah! Man, I was. Dude.
I'm just pumped.
No, that's one. That's actually.
That's a circle of date fight, dude.
That's the first one that I can recall the last, like, couple of years worth, like, ordering pizza and wings and, like, pulling up to your boy's house.
Yeah, you got Max versus Dustin for Dustin's retirement fight.
That's coming up. Yeah, in New Orleans.
That's a big one. Yeah, that's a huge fight.
Is there a date
set for
the
BMF?
For that?
I think it's there is. I think it's end of June. It's the BMF as well. So it's a five round war.
So Dana was waiting for ESPN's contract to expire, waiting for the football, NHL, NBA stuff to phase out, and he's going to come in guns blazing in June, July, August then.
Yeah, he also announced Khamzat and DDP for
another
championship
fight.
That's a huge.
Is that
fight.
In July? That's a big one.
That's actually August. So that's a little bit out. And then upcoming next month, we have Merab O'Malley 2.
Yeah, people will love that. I'm not a huge, you know, I don't get into the O'Malley fights myself, but. I watched the card, but it's not pizza and wings. Yeah. But for some people, it's pizza and wings.
I forgot the biggest the biggest news of all of them.
What's that?
Islam vacated the belt.
Yeah, he's crazy for that.
Vacated the 155 belt. He's moving up to 170. He's gonna go fight JDM, and we'll see what happens. It's not an easy matchup, but Islam is Islam, so. We'll see what happens, but seems like he might be running.
Question for you guys. How's your baseball teams doing? Do we even know?
The Cleveland Guardians? Dude, the Angels, Kojo, you couldn't have been more right. You were like, this is as good as it's going to get. And they were like top of the division, and now they're last.
Yeah. I mean, they played the White Sox in a home series. So
They were leading the AL West. When you said that comment, and they went from first to fifth. They're in last.
The Cleveland Guardians, they either win by two or they get blown out by five. They don't blow teams out ever. But they're second in their division. But they do have a plus minus of a negative number, minus 14.
I got to be honest, man. I got to find the new team. I don't give a damn about the Mets. I find myself betting against them, actually, every chance I get. I think I dislike them.
So, Grant, after Coach, how's your team doing?
Bro, they can't – dude, the bats are just awful. The Reds, they can't get runs in, bro. It's just so awful. I actually sat down and watched a game, and I turned it off after two innings. It's just no fireworks for me. But I'm still riding with them. They're 20-23 right now.
So, I think I'm a Rays fan. Yeah, hold on.
So, Grant.
In fact, let me – I think I'm officially making the switch live on the pod.
Hey, put the Rays hat on.
Check me out. I think I'm going to start following the Rays. Honestly, I don't – like,
were you waiting to do that? Were you waiting to switch schools today?
No, I just happened to have it on the desk.
you had a verbal agreement and you switched?
Hey, sometimes you can't write fate. I think I'm a Rays fan.
Yeah, right. Sucks. Fate.
I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be. The hat was here. I sure as hell don't like watching the Mets. Like, I'm serious. I find myself betting against them. Because the thing with the Mets, they may be good sometimes. it's always going to be in May and June, and they're always going to crumble by the time October, especially September, rolls around. So, and plus, I just don't like the Mets. So
I will say, Grant, as of right now, you know what we're looking at? We're looking at a high – there's a very good chance we've got a Stanley Cup repeat.
And I would be all for it.
Yeah,
for it.
Bro, is there unfinished business?
Unfinished business? Oh, boy. Well, last year, Chuck, the Panthers were up 3-0 to Edmonton, embarrassing them in the Stanley Cup Finals. Embarrassing Connor McDavid. Connor went in that locker room, and there's a video of it. He's just cussing the whole team out. He's like, we got to be better. You got to be better. Everyone's got, you know, he's screaming at him, and it's cussing. Awesome. Dude, it is electric. Well, you know what he does, Chuck? Down 3-0, he takes them to a game 7.
And just for context, Chuck, in the entire history of the NHL, a team has come back from being down 3-0 in a series 4 times ever. And he almost did it in the Stanley Cup final, which never, is never just then. Insane. But if you watch that video of Connor McDavid, it was part of the Prime series. I'll send you the clip. They don't really show his face because they close the doors, but they still have the mics on him. And this is after they lost their third game at home. And they go, and you can just hear him just screaming, just, right fucking now! Right fucking now! We got to lock it right fucking now! He's like screaming. And it's intense. Like, you really can feel the emotion because he doesn't talk much. He's kind of like a who's a good player that doesn't talk much, would you say, in your estimations of football, sport could be?
Like a Justin Herbert?
Mine would have been Messi, but y'all don't want to hear that.
He's this kind of guy that he just
fair.
When he talks, it's powerful, but he doesn't talk much. He really doesn't. And you can just see it coming out. And it's what I love about hockey is there is true emotion in these players that you can see when it comes out because they're so emotionally invested in the game. They're so physically invested in the game that they truly just let it all out on the ice every 60 minutes.
Chuck, let me give you it. I have it here on my phone. I just want you to hear this. This is Connor McDavid. Doesn't do this. Down 3 games in the Stanley Cup.
In the locker room.
Get out! So many fucking times. That's not fucking good enough.
I'm gonna skip the video.
Dig the fuck in right fucking now. Whatever the fuck you have. That is not fucking good enough. Let's go get one fucking win at home. One win, and we'll see what fucking happens.
Electric.
Who wants to run through a wall?
Eat electric.
Dude, they won 3 straight
games. They won 3 straight, and then they almost won it in game 7, almost going back to Florida.
There's definitely unfinished business.
Yeah, bro, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of a revenge game.
Because Edmonton's up 3-1.
Yeah, they are, and they play tonight. They play tonight. I think they close this bitch out.
It's in Vegas. I don't know. It's a tough place. Man,
I'm going to have to watch this one.
You have to watch this one. This is going to be the game, though, that gets you back on.
Dude, Florida's going to beat the shit out of Carolina. I'm sorry. I think Carolina could potentially win the series, but I highly doubt it, man. Yeah. If Toronto can't win 10 games in a row. There's just no way they're going to beat Florida now. But Florida is going to be in the Stanley Cup final by the looks of it.
I know that the series isn't over yet, but I almost called this.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I was like, hey, look, if Toronto wins, Florida's going to come back and win the series quickly, too. They're just that kind of team.
We can't count out Dallas still because they're still sniffing right there.
Dallas is playing great.
They've been playing well, and they could take Edmonton down. There's no doubt
they
about
could.
That.
Yes, they could, and they're healthy now. They got Jason Robertson back. They got Miro Heiskanen back.
Everyone's there.
Ondra's playing really well right now. Yeah, they're firing too. That's going to be a great Western Conference Finals.
But if there's the scariest team in the NHL right now, bar none, is the Edmonton Oilers.
Yes, Yep. Yep.
And I can't believe I had them losing the series to start the Stanley Cup playoffs.
100% agree. I have a couple of who would you rathers for you guys before we close out.
Right.
Not to get it back on a football, but we know we're going to have a little football lull for a bit. So let's end it. Let's cap it off. Let's have a nightcap with some football real quick. What you say, huh?
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
We're gonna do fantasy again because you guys have my fantasy juices flowing right now, so I'm just feeling this whole fantasy crap.
Yep.
So we're gonna start with some running backs in the fantasy world, and we're again talking about value plays. Who's the more valuable player? Christian McCaffrey or James Cook?
Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, even with his age and his injuries, fantasy wise, you know, I wouldn't necessarily take him top five or six. Like, he's not going to be what he was previously. Why I say CMC, though, is James Cook had double digit touchdowns this past year, and it almost feels like Ray Davis is taking over the backfield. So I'm saying CMC here because he's still their guy. Is he going to get as much volume? Probably not, but I think he can still do more with what he gets than what James Cook can do.
Especially with CMC second round value in some drafts. I mean, Christian McCaffrey has.
I'll give you the ADP if you want it. ADP is CMC at 28, James Cook at 41. So they're drafted about six running backs apart.
I'm taking CMC all day. In fact, I think closer we get to the season, there's no way that many people are going to be passing on Christian McCaffrey.
Name carries too much.
I bet he's coming up to the 112, I bet, by the time we start drafting.
The question you asked was value. And I'll have CMC because what it would take to get CMC after the draft, before week one even happens, would be a whole lot more than even where he's drafted at than it would James Cook. Like, there'd be a big disparity between where you actually drafted them. So because of the potential and the ceiling of what CMC has done in the past, what he could do in the future, we don't know. James Cook, you kind of know what you're getting. So the value-wise, I have to go to CMC.
Who's the more valuable fantasy wide receiver, Malik Nabers or A.J. Brown?
I'm saying A.J. Brown.
They're drafted at the same spot, so you know.
My thing with Malik Nabers, he's a great wide receiver. People are assuming that because he was getting, you know, a lot of these garbage targets, I like to call them, and it's not that he's not earning targets, because he's a fantastic receiver. If the Giants are better and in more winning game scripts, I think some of those reception numbers get minimized, and I think A.J. Brown is a more dominant wide receiver still. I think touchdowns still carry weight for wide receivers. I think A.J. Brown has more touchdown upside. I'm going to say A.J. Brown.
Yeah, so I'm going to actually go Malik Nabers. Solely, he's their guy, the wide receiver core, sharing touches with Saquon Barkley, Devontae Smith, even Dallas Goedert. Sometimes it's tough, even though I do think A.J. Brown has the potential to be top five wide receiver year in, year out. It's kind of tough in the fantasy world for him to get what he needs to be that guy. And I think Malik gets the volume.
Yeah, I usually go with the better team when there's a tie. I don't think it's a tie, though. I have Malik Nabers. I think, weirdly enough, to say this out loud, I think he has a better floor and a higher ceiling.
Who's the better value fantasy tight end? Mark Andrews or Evan Ingram?
Better value?
Mm-hmm.
The ADP on that, I wonder. Mark Andrews has been kind of – he ghosted. He had a weird season. He did get in a car accident before the year and all that. I don't know what to think about Mark Andrews, and for that reason, I wouldn't draft him. So I'll draft Evan Engram probably way before I'll draft Mark Andrews, no matter what the ADP is, because I don't know what to expect out of Mark Andrews. He's late in his career, question marks. I'd rather just – I like Evan Engram in greener grass with Sean Payton as maybe an X factor thing with him as my selling point. I'll take Evan Engram.
I think I'm going to take Evan Engram as well. I think that tight end room is Evan Ingram's in Denver. I don't know if I can say that about Mark Andrews, even the previous success he's had with Isaiah Likely coming in, who had a few good games last year. I have a cause for concern that he's going to be their new toy or shining toy going forward as their tight end.
I like your guys' thoughts, but I'm going to go Mark Andrews. I think with Evan Engram coming off injury, Mark Andrews coming off a really good season, even though he was a car accident, he played all 17 games. He's basically always a top six tight end other than the year he got hurt. I can't say that about Evan Engram yet, but I see the upside is higher for Evan Engram. So I'm going to take Mark Andrews, but only because I'm not really looking for a potential top three tight end finish. I'm looking for someone that can stabilize that and actually give me points week in, week out. That would be where I'm at.
This one, I want you to look through the lens of who has a higher ceiling rather than value, but who has a higher ceiling for you, and it's receiver base. So who has the higher fantasy ceiling? Tet McMillan or Rome Odunze?
That's not even close for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's close either.
Yeah. I like, and I'm not saying Rome's a bad receiver. I just think there's so many more mouths
in that
offense than there is for Tet. So it's too easy to just say Tet will likely get more volume out the gate anyway.
I mean, you're sleeping on how many – he's not going to walk in and earn all the targets. You've got Xavier Leggett.
No, of course.
You've got Jalen Coker. You've got Adam Thielen. I do think McMillan has a better chance to get his – 1,200 yards than Rome Odunze, because you know you've got the Ben Johnson screen game is going to come in. But man, I think Rome Odunze is just better, and I think McMillan has got some question marks. If the people that like to hate on McMillan are, there's more people that hate on McMillan that hate on Odunze. There's a lot more people that say McMillan's a jump ball merchant. So I think it's really a toss-up.
I mean, the names you mentioned were Adam Thielen, Jalen Coker, and Xavier Leggett.
Right.
The names I'd mention on the other side would be DJ Moore, Luther Burden, Colston Loveland. Those are Ben Johnson's handpicked guys. I mean, you know how I feel about that draft. I know you don't feel great about them, but yeah, there's a whole lot more competition in Chicago. I do think Rome will have a better year, don't get me wrong. But in terms of ceiling, it'll look a couple things, and I think that ceiling-wise, it won't be close for that. I'm not going to say that for the floor, Chuck, but I will say ceiling.
They both have traits.
Yeah, well, they have different traits, for sure.
They're very different receivers.
I think Rome's better slightly, and I think he is going to have a better year. I think if you look at, McMillan might have more opportunity, you might be able to say that, but I don't know. I'd rather roll with Caleb and Ben Johnson than Bryce Young.
Last one for you. This is back to the value, and it's a running back. Who has the, who's the more valuable fantasy running back? James Conner or David Montgomery?
You're just going to name my favorite picks?
Yeah, I was about to say that's Fogle's RB room.
That's my favorite running back room right there. Yeah, these are essentially the same
damn thing.
And I'm going to go ahead and say the more valuable player for your team is David Montgomery. And the big reason for that is I'm guaranteed to be at the goal line a lot. They James Conner probably has somewhat of a higher floor. But value-wise, I still would prefer the touchdowns over the floor. And DeMont's not – floor is nothing. It's not nothing. You know, we're talking still a very good one. So, you know, I'll take DeMont.
Yeah, I'm going to take DeMont as well. James Conner's not trying to wish upon anything, but he's due for an injury every year.
He's 30.
I mean, he's due for one, it feels like, every year. So I'm going DeMont.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go Montgomery. Just Lions better than Cardinals. But other than that, same shit.
Well, that's all I got for you guys on that. I'm just trying to steal all your trades. You know, that's all it is. Like, all right, I'm on the clock.
Grant, you walking into a pack of wolves, brother.
I want to quickly go back. Malik Nabers is interesting to me. He reminds me a lot of Jalen Waddle's rookie year. Like, come in, the offense isn't set up, but you're our only weapon, so we're just going to feed you 100 targets. I'm not saying Malik Nabers is bad. I love Jalen Waddle still, because if the Dolphins needed to do that, I think Jalen Waddle, if he was healthy, he could still do that. The same shit that the Giants did with Malik Nabers. But when the offense is flowing the way the offense is supposed to, Malik Nabers doesn't get 12 dump offs. And that's where a lot of those crazy, like, where even when he's not scoring touchdowns, he's still getting fantasy points comes from. And he's still fantastic, but you're talking about A.J. Brown, one of the best receivers in the game. I trust A.J. Brown to go out there and give you your 40 point weeks. Guaranteed this year again.
So I was actually curious on that, Chuck, because when I was making my decision, I was a close one, so I had to look at like what it looked like this year. With Saquon Barkley in the building, AJ Brown didn't have a 30-point week, which was surprising. Well, I guess it's not surprising, but when you look at it, you're like, huh. And that's why I said earlier that the ceiling for Malik is higher, and I almost always go with a better team. You know that. But for this situation, I think Saquon is taking way too much from the room. You know, it reminds me of like CMC, you know? Whereas like I think AJ's the better actual receiver. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, that's how the cookie crumbles.
I could just see Malik Nabers becoming a wide receiver like 2A sort of like viewed guy rather than like a staple one. And it's not because of anything he's doing bad or wrong or anything like that. It's just because people have this ridiculous expectation for him where we're treating him like he's Justin Jefferson.
A question for you. Do you think, I know this is going to be biased and crazy other guys, but I just want to get Chuck's thought on this. Do you view Jalen Waddle and Malik Nabers as the same talent?
I view them very close. Yeah.
Where do you think Jalen Waddle would be without Tyreek Hill?
It's hard. I mean, the thing is people love to say the injury thing, and if you look it up,
Take the injuries
without
out.
Without like Tyreek Hill, I think fantasy-wise, remember, was it a year or two ago he was still getting drafted in the second round, even with Tyreek Hill? I think that's where he and Waddle and Nabers will probably end up being around.
Well, Nabers is going back of the first. I'm just saying is if you view Waddle and Nabers to be similar guys in terms of talent and all these things, then you can look at Nabers and be like, he's the one that never had Tyreek come. Where would Waddle be, you know, in that situation? Because it kind of seems familiar territory. And if Waddle... If Reek never came, Waddle would be being drafted in the back of the first. Like, that wouldn't have been normal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yep. So in that case, then I should be in on Nabers, you're saying?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
Well, you should have accepted my trade, A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, and Mike Evans for BTJ, but talking about A.J. Brown like this, I'm just saying.
Well, Brian Thomas Jr. is A.J. Brown 6 years ago.
That's the thing. He's just disregarding the other two players.
Grant, we're going to ask you a ball knowledge. We're going to ask you a ball knowledge for fantasy because this is – for everyone out there, Grant doesn't play fantasy. He never has. He was always an athlete that gave no shits about it.
So I still don't. Like, let's be honest.
We're going to ask you a fantasy question here. All right,
Grant, you ready?
Let's hear it.
Who would you rather have? I'm going to go Stacks.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson and Zay Flowers. Or Bo Nix and Evan Engram. Value-wise, in drafts and everything. So, like, Lamar is going to be a third-round pick. Zay's going to be a fourth-round pick.
I'll take Bo Nix and Evan Engram for sure.
Bo Nix and Evan Engram would be like eighth and ninth.
Yeah, that for sure.
Especially because you could just only worry about running backs, receivers, and then just get Bo Engram, and then you're done.
Coach, one thing I've heard from
– I am disagreeing. Really? Big time. I'm big time disagreeing. Yeah.
So you're willing to spend the third and fourth on it, and then instead of the reverse?
I mean, you tell me what your first and second is. I mean, to be fair, to answer that question properly.
I don't like the stack here. I love getting Lamar, number one overall fantasy player potential. Love getting Lamar. I don't see the value in stacking him with Zay Flowers.
No, that was what the question was.
Right. Value-wise, I get it. I get it, but I'm still Lamar and Zay.
Yeah, well, some guys would be the Lamar side no matter what because of the ceiling.
Yeah, because you get Lamar.
The one thing I've learned from you, Connor, is if you're drafting a quarterback highly, it's only because they are rushing touchdowns.
His name's Josh Allen.
Yeah, well, he's a rushing too, though, a lot nowadays.
Yeah, but he counts. Yeah,
but
it's not like that, but it counts.
Lamar's not throwing 40 touchdowns to Zay Flowers. It's just not happening. You know what I mean by that. He's not throwing 40 touchdowns. Zay Flowers isn't doing the touchdown receptions like we think. So
yeah, but the reverse to that is Lamar could put up Bo Nix and Evan Engram combined by himself.
He could. He very well could.
You know what I mean? Like, some guys are going to go to bat for it.
If I have a third and fourth round pick, I think I can get two players that can also get what
Lamar
gets.
you're looking at James Cook, Territory, Smitty, those kind of guys.
So that's my
fourth
thing.
Round.
I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see how this draft goes whenever we do it.
Coach, are you still sticking with Lamar, or would you go the EE route? The Bo Nix
route? I still stick with Lamar there. I really do.
I need to draft Lamar this year, man. I'm putting my foot down. I'm sick of not drafting him. I'm reaching the second.
Every year he like falls for no reason.
Do you remember for a while I was reaching? I used to reach on quarterbacks for a couple years.
So Chuck reached on Jalen Hurts in a league high like price.
The year happened.
And it was the year that like nobody was reaching for Jalen yet. You know what I mean? Like, and then Chuck banged it on the right year. And he took, I remember you took Amon-Ra that year as well and banged that. And I was laughing. Yeah, this dude just drafted Jalen Hurts in the back of the third. I'm like, you're an idiot.
I think that draft actually ruined my fantasy for the next couple years. I started thinking I had it all figured out. I started thinking I could do it again. But so I'm going to have to come back to earth this year.
Well, fellas, it's getting late around here.
Yes, it is, and the Celtics are about to be 3-2.
I'm going to be watching that Oilers game, though.
You should. I'll be up watching it. I've been up till like 12:30 most nights nowadays watching these games.
Yeah,
it starts to slow down next series, Grant, or Chuck. It starts to slow down.
Start getting days off.
Well, it's just there's only one game each day, and they'll throw the Western Conference games at
and you'll have a day where there isn't a game. You know, they'll have that one every once in a while, like not every game, but it'll be like one of those
anytime
they're
one
of the mixed games. Yeah,
we're getting to that point.
Yep.
So Edmonton and Dallas are not close, right? Florida and Carolina are. They're gonna be playing every other day.
Probably so. But take care, guys.
Peace. God bless.